It's Dr. Bill Meyer Live on Faith Radio. Get ready to join the conversation. Now let's join Dr. Bill Meyer Live.
And you can join the conversation by calling us at 877-93-FAITH. 877-93-FAITH is the number. In fact, if you call us in the next 45 minutes or so, give us your contact info, we'll put you into a drawing for a copy of a book by this hour's guest. In fact, the book is called Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. It's written by Jessica Thompson, along with her mom, Elise Fitzpatrick. Jessica speaks at women's conferences and homeschooling conferences around the country. She co-authored Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus, along with her mom, Elise. Jessica is married. She has three kids. She lives in beautiful Poway, California. And Jessica, welcome to Faith Radio.
Thanks so much for having me. If I'm a little out of breath, it's because I'm doing lunges around the office while I talk to you. I wanted to follow your advice, and I didn't want to sit for too long. No,
good,
I'm just
for
joking.
You.
But thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on with you today.
Thank you. You can pace all you want during the Now, you've got how many kids do you have? Three kids at home?
I do. I have three kids. I have a 15-year-old boy, a 13-year-old boy, and a 10-year-old girl.
So you've been through the stages of development. You still have a few more to go through. And before long, you're going to have kids going off to college, empty nest.
I know.
How does that feel?
Yeah. Well, now that you said that, I'm about to cry. No. It's exciting and scary, and it's everything, you know. I'm really excited to see how God's going to use my kids. Hmm. But I don't want them to leave, ever, which might be a little weird.
No, who does? No parent wants their kids to leave. Now, have you been homeschooling them throughout their lives?
You know what? I homeschooled them for 5 years. This last year was the first year that we didn't homeschool them. Mm-hmm. We had some. There were some various reasons that that happened, the most significant being that my daughter has some learning disabilities, and she needed more help than I was able to give her. So we made a change after a lot of prayer and discussion. We made a change, and they're all actually, this last year was the first year that they were, they went to school, not at home.
Did they go to public or private school?
They actually went to a public school, and I can't, that's a decision every family just needs to make on their own. And everybody's got to go by their own convictions. But for our family, the way that this has worked out has been pretty amazing. God's used our family in a lot of people's lives that we didn't know last year. And so I'm really grateful for that opportunity. There are downfalls to it. I don't think there's any perfect way of schooling your kids. I think every homeschooling, private school, public school, there's all good and bad to each of those. For our family, we felt like this was going to be the best thing for us. And I mean, it wasn't an easy decision, but I really have seen how God's used it in our family this year.
Jessica, I'm so glad to hear you say that for each family, they didn't make their own choice and that they all have the upsides and downsides, because there are some, as you know, that are pretty rigid about their own choice and would say everybody's got to do it this way. And yet you made a prayerful decision, and sounds like it's going really well so far. So praise God for that.
Yes, praise him.
Now, let's talk a little bit about this book. You and your mom wrote another book. In fact, let's just mention that one, Give Them Grace. What was that book all about, and how did you and your mom come to write it together?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Because this book actually comes out of that book, so I feel like they kind of go together. We had been talking about how the gospel is center to all of life, how Christianity isn't just about following the rules. Christianity is about, it's not about becoming nice. Christianity is about becoming perfectly righteous before a holy God by the work of Jesus Christ. And we asked ourselves, what, do our children even know that's what Christianity is, or do they think it's moralism? So what makes Christianity, what makes Christian parenting Christian? And out of that question came Give Them Grace, where we talked about how do we talk to our children, not just about obedience and following the rules, which are good things and they need to do, but how do we talk to them about Jesus Christ in the middle of that? And not just Jesus Christ is your example, be like him, not just that, but Jesus Christ is not only your example, he's your righteousness. Look, baby, he did everything for you. Saying that to our children, he's done everything for you to assure you of your forgiveness and to make you acceptable before God. So we thought a lot of Christian parenting books miss that. They miss the gospel. They miss what makes Christianity so unique and so beautiful. And that was that's the reason why we think so many kids turn away from the faith, because in our perspective, they haven't even really heard it. They haven't heard the good news that turned the world upside down. All they've heard is be nice and go to church and read your Bible, completely leaving out Jesus Christ, our Savior, the hero of the Bible. And so we wrote Give Them Grace and talked a lot about how does the gospel work out in your parenting, not just be a better kid, but you need someone else's goodness, not be a good kid. You need someone else's goodness because you could never be good enough. You need Jesus Christ's perfect record of always living the life you should have lived and then taking your death, dying the death that you deserved.
Wow, very powerful. You know, I'm reminded there's an author named Timothy Smith who wrote a book a few years ago called The Danger of Raising Nice Kids. And it's along those same lines. He's basically saying that for many Christian parents, what they're striving for, and even non-Christian parents, is striving for kids who are nice, and the emphasis is on external behavior.
Right.
And Tim goes on to say the danger of that is once they get out on their own, if they've simply been towing the line, go, you know, avoid punishment or to go with what's, you know, the right way in their own family. Once they go off to college or into the working world, all bets are off. And
absolutely.
And I'm sure you've seen that. I'm being in the homeschooling community. In fact, let's talk about that for a minute, because being a homeschooling mom for many years and teaching other homeschoolers, that is a danger that you see sometimes, and not always, but sometimes in the homeschooling community, where kids do, you know, they look great from the outside, and then they go off to college. And what's missing? What happens? What have you seen that I'm sure you've seen some train wrecks?
Yeah. Well, for sure. What it is it's those what Jesus called whitewashed tombs, right? They look awesome from the outside, clean, you know, secure, and on the inside there's a bunch of rotting corpses. Mm. And that's exactly what's happening with our kids. And yes, in the homeschool movement, for sure. I think in every movement there is this emphasis on, you know, having nice, clean-cut, well-behaved, yes ma'am, no ma'am children that really don't even know Jesus Christ. Mm. They know how to talk about it, but have never had that experience of, oh, my goodness is worth nothing. The Bible says it's dirty rags. Mm-hmm. It's less than worth nothing. It's actually offensive to him to bring all of our good works. I am a good kid. I memorized all these verses. I obey my parents constantly and hold them up. And God's like, that's offensive to me because it's never going to be good enough. You need to be perfect as I'm perfect. And kids have... Well, parents have dumbed Christianity down. They've lowered the bar so that all kids think they have to do is be nice, and then somehow they're accepted by God. And that's not the truth. The Bible tells us that's not even close to the truth. If it was, the Pharisees would have been right there with Jesus Christ all the time. But instead, he's the one, Jesus Christ is rebuking them constantly. Part of the gospel is admitting that we're not okay, that we're sinners. And that's one thing that kids who grow up in a self-righteous community, they can't admit it. It makes them angry. Well, I'll be honest, it makes me angry too, to admit that I'm not okay. I want to be able to do it all on my own. But that's the humbling point of the cross. I actually can't do this on my own. I need his work. So we, you know, parents spend all this time trying to protect their kids from the outside world. Now, the outside world has some problems, and we do need to be protective of our kids. But really, the main problem is our children's hearts. It's not out there. It's in here. It's not just our kids' hearts. It's our hearts, too. We need to be saved from ourselves. So when we tell our kids, I'm protecting you from the outside, I'm protecting you from the outside, then we send them off to college, and they're around all these people who you told them that they were awful. And, you know, the guy that's a homosexual ends up being really nice. And the kids that go out and drink and smoke and do all these things that maybe we don't approve of end up being really cool and caring to them. And they think, what in the world? you guys warned me that these people were awful, and they've been the nicest to me out of anybody I know. So, again, when we tell them the problem's out there, it's wrong. The problem is in here. It's in each of our hearts. Each of our hearts is desperately wicked, and we need Jesus Christ, life, death, resurrection, to change us. And that's the message I think a lot of homeschooling, conservative children miss. The good kids miss the gospel, and it's a travesty. And I think a lot of those kids who pretend to be good on the outside, like you said, oh, man, once they're out of the home, they're done. They're like, why would I ever try to be nice and be good when there's so much more waiting for me? Because the point is not be nice or be good. The point is Jesus Christ pursues you with an everlasting love. He loves sinners. And even though you never measure up, oh, he loves you anyway, and he measured up on your behalf before a holy God.
Preach it, sister. I love it. That's good stuff. I mean, you basically packed a great theology lesson there into a couple of minutes, and I appreciate that so much, Jessica, because it is so true. I had a chance recently to speak to a Bart Millard from the group Mercy Me, and you may know this, that Bart grew up in a pretty legalistic environment and had a lot of misconceptions about Jesus and his own faith, and just in the last couple of years has come to the realization that it is all about what has already been done for us,
right,
and God's grace, and then responding to that incredible grace and that incredible gift with obedience. But it's only because of the
right
work that's already been done. And so good for you. It's maybe a little bit countercultural in the homeschooling community to say some of those things. But
yes, it is.
But I'm glad you're doing it. Okay, let's talk about this new book. What inspired you and your mom to tackle some of the toughest questions that kids ask?
We actually had a friend who suggested it to us. Said, is there any way you guys could get together and write a book about these questions that our kids ask, and talk about the gospel in them? Talk about the good news of Jesus Christ in these toughest questions. So we took on that task, and the reason that we call them the toughest questions is because they really are. I was surprised. I probably shouldn't have been at how demanding the book was to write, because these questions are so difficult to answer in a way that kids would understand. Well, let's be honest, in a way that I understand. It's hard to wrap our minds around these things.
And we're going to give some examples throughout the hour, and we're going to kind of sprinkle these through. And also, if you have a tough question that you've been trying to answer for your child, you're welcome to give us a call, and Jessica and I will try to help you with that one. In fact, you can call us anytime in the next 35 minutes or so. 877-93-FAITH is the number, 877-93-FAITH. One of the things that is difficult is to deal with some of the troubling things in the Bible, because especially in the Old Testament, there are some pretty scary stories and some pretty violent stuff. And when a child, especially an older child, let's say they get to be a preteen and, you know, they've been memorizing scripture and they've been going to Sunday school, and all of a sudden they come to you and they go, Mom, why did God tell them to go in there and kill everybody and all the women and children and animals? And what's up with this?
Right. I think there's a few things we need to start out with. The question is, how do you read your Bible? And going back to this whole, Christianity's been dumbed down to a morality tale. The Bible is just a book of good people that you should be like. When you read the Bible that way, you read those things and say, that's not right. That doesn't make any sense in the way I'm supposed to read the Bible. If you're just reading stories to find a hero, it's not going to make sense when you read stuff like that. So I think that the first thing is changing how we read the Bible. So when we read the Bible, we need to ask ourselves a couple questions. What does this tell me about the God who supplies redemption? What does this story, take any weird story, because there's a lot. What does this tell me about the God who supplies redemption? And what does this tell me about the people who need that redemption supplied? I think we need to change the way we read the Bible. The Bible isn't some Aesop's Fables book about be like these people. The Bible is a real, gritty, down-to-earth, honest book that talks about what people are really like. And I think when we hide our kids from that, obviously we need to keep in mind that kids have different developmental stages and what they're mature enough to handle. But when we hide the realness of the Bible from kids, we're actually robbing them of the beauty of it. I think so many kids and so many parents think the Bible's so unrelatable. But, I mean, this is a down and dirty, gritty stories that talk about how desperate we are for redemption and then how powerful God is to work in these messed up people's lives to bring about that redemption. So I don't think we need to apologize for the Bible. I don't think we need to hide it or sanitize it. He wrote it that way for a reason. So I think we tell kids, look, this is a real story. This is a real picture of what humanity is like, and it should show you your desperate need, especially for those older kids.
Jessica,
when we tell our children, go ahead.
We need to take a quick break here, but yep. I want to continue this conversation in just a moment because some powerful things that we're talking about. Jessica Thompson is our guest. We'll be back with more here on the Faith Radio Network about answering your kids' toughest questions after this quick break.
Continues right now, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Now, here's Dr. Bill Meyer again on Faith Radio.
Welcome back. Our guest is Jessica Thompson. She is the co-author of Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. She co-wrote the book with her mom, Elise Fitzpatrick. They are kind of a mother-daughter writing dynamo. And they have another book, which I would highly recommend to you, called Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus. Came out a while back. The new one, taking on the tough questions that kids tend to ask their moms and dads. And we were discussing how Scripture has some tough, tough things, especially in the Old Testament, that we need to somehow explain to our kids. And one of the things you said was the Bible is not Aesop's fables. It's not just little morality tales about be like this person. It's about the truth of how we are, who we are as human beings. And that is,
right.
you mentioned Jeremiah earlier, that heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And we have to, our kids have to understand that that's, you know, the Bible is not just these good guys and gals that did all these great things, although there are many in there. It's basically the truth of who we are as human beings and that we desperately need a Savior.
Right. And don't you think it's so hope-building and encouraging to know that some of our favorite heroes, I will use that word loosely, in the Bible also were pretty messed up? I mean, to me, I hear about Peter's denial of Christ, and I think, oh, okay, God used him anyway, because it's not about how good we are, it's about how good he is. And that encourages me, and that encourages our kids, too. And we can see how God can take these people, just like you and I, who have some serious problems, and use them for his glory. And that'll bring hope to our kids when they feel like I've messed up too much. God can't use me, he won't use me. And we can say, no. Look, it's not just about you. It's about his love, about his work of redemption. That's how beautiful he is.
Boy, that's great. And it is so critical as our kids are growing to help them understand that because they are going to beat themselves up, especially if, you know, living in a Christian home, oftentimes the kids feel, either, whether it's an overt or, you know, just a sort of a subconscious pressure to, as we said, to be good on the outside and be those little shiny whitewashed tombs, which we want to avoid. Now, what are some of the, as you started to gather questions for the book, did you talk to other parents? Did you just go from your own experience? And let's just get into a few of the tough questions that have been asked by kids and then how you would suggest parents respond.
Yeah. Well, I did talk to lots of people. We talked to lots of teachers and people who were involved with kids and asked, well, what do you think were the toughest questions? What did they ask? And then talked to some people who were in child development to talk. When I would say, okay, well, here's what I would say. And they'd say, you know, that's not language they would understand. And we'd change it around. So we got a lot of input with this one.
Now, back to Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio.
And welcome back. We'd love to hear from you if you'd like to give us a call. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH. Our guest is Jessica Thompson, the co-author of the new book, Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. We lost you there for a second, Jessica. Sorry about that.
Sure, I think it happened. Was all the lunges I was doing around the office.
Okay, so we were talking about the tough questions that have been brought to you or that you gathered. And
right.
You said you talked to child development experts, which was wise because you might answer a tough question from a 5-year-old different than you would to answer that question from a 12-year-old.
Right.
Just
absolutely.
Because of their ability to comprehend, to abstract. So let's dive into a few of the toughest questions that you've
okay.
received and then how you and your mom responded to them in the book.
Okay, sounds good. Is there one that particular that you want to hear about, or any of them?
Okay, let's just talk maybe the top five that you when you have been approached by parents, Sunday school teachers, homeschooling moms that they say, "Gosh, you know, this is just one I really struggle with, and I don't know what to do with it."
I think one of them is talking to your kids about Satan.
Mm.
That's one we've heard a lot, and again, like you said. The way you talk to a 5-year-old is different than the way you talk to a 12-year-old. And I think you need to know your children. That's going to be one of our first calls in the book, is this isn't like a one-size-fits-all thing. My 5-year-old might be different than the way your 5-year-old is, probably will be, and processed differently. So we need to be careful about knowing our kids and knowing what scares them or what they may hear differently than what we're saying. I think asking a lot of questions when you talk to your kids. Now, tell me what you just heard me say. How do you understand that? Those are good things to do. So talking to your kids about Satan, I think, is actually an important and frequent question. And what we would say to a young child, maybe, you know, 5 years old about Satan is going to be different than what you say to a 12-year-old. But with a 5-year-old, you could say something like, look, Satan is created. Do you know what I mean by that? God made Satan. He once was an angel, and he'd made a decision that he wanted to be worshipped. And so God threw him out of heaven. And what you need to understand about Satan is that just like when you take a bunch of Legos and you put them together to make something, you can also destroy those Legos. You can tear it apart as soon as you want to. So just like you draw a picture, you paint a picture, as soon as you're done with that picture, if you don't like it anymore, you can tear it up. And that's how God is with Satan. He has the ultimate control over him. Now, does he choose? He doesn't choose right now to destroy Satan. For some reason, which we're not exactly completely sure of, but we do know that God has let him be around for a while, but God does ultimately have control over him. And so talking to our kids about that, trying to use language that they understand. So Satan's created. That's a very important thing for kids to know so that they don't have to be afraid of him. He's a created being that God is ultimately in charge of. And then I think talking to them about what Satan does. Satan accuses the brethren. We can use a little bit of different terms, but he accuses Christians. That's his job. And you can talk to them. What does he accuse Christians of? Well, first he accuses them of being too bad for God to save. So if you ever hear you're too bad, you're not good enough for God to save or God to love, that's not God talking to you. And he accuses Christians of being too good. Oh, you're fine. You don't need Jesus. So he's accusing you on both sides. If you ever think either one of those things, you can know that doesn't come from God. Talking them through that. So have you ever felt like you're too bad? And I'm guessing most kids would say, yeah, they have felt like they're too bad for God to love them. Or talking to them, have you ever felt like you're so good you don't even think about God? Like everything's going fine and you don't need him. I mean, both of those things I feel in my own life, and I'm sure that kids would feel in theirs. So talking to them, reassuring them that ultimately God's in control, and with all of these questions, that's our underlying theme. God's got this. It may seem chaotic. It may seem out of control, but we have the Bible that tells us he ultimately has all of this, and it's all working towards this one day where everything's going to be redeemed, and we're going to be with him. And that's good news. We need to create in our kids a hope for this one day, a hope for redemption, not just for the one day, but redemption now too. So you're not too bad. You haven't done too many bad things. God loves you and can use you anyway.
Mm. And we should mention that throughout the book, you do have this motif of creation, fall, and redemption, which
right.
every one of us, including our kids, need to understand. Of course, with a young child, it's going to be a more simplistic or a clear-cut, you know, simple answer. But
right.
We have to understand that, you know, first of all, that we are created in God's image, and He loves us mm-hmm. so much. He treasures us, but we are fallen, and what that means
right.
to be fallen and how it impacts our lives and our relationships with others and with Him. And then that what that redemption means for us, both, as you said, mm-hmm. now and then in the future mm-hmm. through glorification
right.
someday. So that's, I think, with every answer. And again, it all depends on the age of the child and how developmentally ready they are to hear some of these things.
Right.
One of the other tough questions that comes up sort of along these lines of is God in control? Is, okay, I'm 13 years old, and my best friend just got cancer. And
right.
and the doctors say that she's going to die. How
mm-hmm.
could God let this happen? If God, and she's a Christian, too. God,
right.
And she loves God. Mom, how can God let this happen? How do you respond to that, let's say, a 13-year-old?
Right. And first of all, I would say enter into their sadness with them. I mean, let's not act like superhero Christian parent. Who's like, well, just he is, so just be okay with it. Just
mm-hmm.
trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that doesn't help anybody. All that's going to do is, if they have any doubts, it's going to push them deeper into their doubts and add to it on top of it that they have to be quiet about their doubts because you're mm-hmm. not going to help. You're just going to shame them. We don't want to shame our kids into believing these truths. We want to show them they are true. And ultimately, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. But if that does happen, you can just enter into it. Sweetie, for me to say to you, I completely understand why God's doing this is a lie. I don't understand. This is hard. And it makes me sad with you. But ultimately, we can go back to the truth of who God is. He's loving. How is He loving in this? Maybe we won't ever know. We may never know until we're in heaven, but we have to trust that He is. And the reason we can trust that He is because He understands losing a loved one. Jesus Christ, His very Son, He gave Him up to make you and I a part of His family. So bringing it back to the gospel, is this hard? Yeah. Do we understand it? Not completely, and we may never, but He understands. God understands what it's like to lose a loved one. And Jesus Christ understands what it's like to give up His life for His loved ones. And that's the only place we're going to be able to find any sort of sense to this or any sort of comfort in this situation is that we have a God who understands suffering. And it could be that, I mean, the Bible tells us He uses everything, all these horrible circumstances, to show us more of Himself and to make us more like Him. And so we trust that in this, He's going to do that. How He's going to do it, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't. But let's pray. Let's pray right now that we trust that He is as loving and as good as He says He is. Mm-hmm. I think something just as simple as that, reminding them over and over again that we have a God who understands. And even in the middle of experiencing doubts, He's pursuing you and loving you. That's how our kids need to be talked to about crazy things like people getting cancer. I mean, it's horrible and it's hard. And sickness has entered the world because of sin. But again, so we have creation, perfect. Sickness enters the world because of sin. We're fallen. But guess what? One day, we're going to have no sickness, no sadness, no tears with Him forever. Redemption.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Powerful. And the same thing would apply to, you know, natural disasters, to you hear about the
Absolutely.
Kids hear about terrorists on the news and all these,
yeah.
these terrible things that happen, to be able to approach it in that way. Why do you think, Jessica, in your experience, when it comes to things like death and suffering and tragedy, natural disasters, that parents have such a tough time talking to their kids? Is it their own fear? Is it that they're worried that they're going to put more fear into the eyes of their child? Why do they resist? Why do parents? Because I admit I'm a psychologist, and those things are tough for me too. But why do you think
right.
what's going on inside of us, is that just part of, you know, the fact that God has designed us as empathic creatures that feel deeply, and we're feeling that pain,
right,
and we don't want to go there?
Yeah. I mean, well, Bill, I think you hit it right on the head when you said, are we fearful? Yeah, we're fearful, because I think deep down in our heart of hearts, we don't really feel like we know the answers either. And I think we're scared to say that to our kids because somehow it diminishes God. I don't think it diminishes God at all. I think that saying, I don't completely understand, but I'm choosing to trust that he's good and that he's loving, I think that's a huge witness to our kids. Again, going back to the whole, when we talked about the Bible isn't all these people that never doubted. The Bible's full of people who had doubts, and God used them anyway and loved them through their doubts. I think it's a deep-seated fear in all of us that if we let our cards show, if we let our kids see that we're just like they are, somehow it's going to diminish the testimony of Christianity. And it's quite the opposite. The testimony of Christianity is you are that sinful. You are that full of doubts. You are that full of fear. But he loves you anyway. That's the beauty of the gospel. And I think when we try to act like we've got it all together, and we try to act like we don't have those same doubts, we're robbing our kids of seeing what real Christianity is.
Mm. And the other danger, which I think fits right in there, Jessica, is this belief by a lot of Christian parents that it's all about authority. And if I'm not authoritative, and if I'm not always strong, and if I'm not always in control, then somehow my kids are going to, you know, get messed up. And there's just this big emphasis on things like obedience and discipline. And not that those things are bad in and of themselves, but of course they have to be seen in the greater context of the gospel,
absolutely,
as you've been pointing out. So to be able to admit that we don't have all the answers, that's not a bad thing. That's something that each of us, if we're really following Christ, we have to be honest about.
Absolutely. And I think we've set up this sort of us versus them mentality with our kids. Parents are the righteous ones, and we're going to lead the way. And you kids, you need to get your act together and follow us. And I mean, instead of us versus them, let's go to the cross together. Let's be real with our kids. I struggle too, baby. Let's run to him and ask for help. I mean, what would that do in our kids' lives? It would free them up to confess their sins to us. It would free them up to feel like they could talk to us about stuff instead of hiding from us. And the Christian culture has set up us versus them, parents versus kids. And I'm just, it's sad, it saddens me when we could actually be taking our children by the hand, maybe a step ahead of them, maybe two, but leading them, but still saying it's us together. I mean, at times my kids have more faith than I do, if I'm going to be real honest. There's times when my kids say stuff and I'm just blown away. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about the gospel. Thank you. And when I'm humble with them, it frees them up to be able to do that with me. Hey, Mom, I think you're forgetting this. Or, Mom, what about this? And then we're able to be brothers and sisters in Christ, not just I'm the authority and you're the child, do what I say and believe what I believe.
You know, Jessica, I have to ask you, and you're so passionate about this topic, has this been a recent revelation for you? It sounds like you grew up in a Christian home. Did you come to a point where you had to grapple with this stuff and say, we're going about it the wrong way?
Yeah, for sure. I grew up, and this is not, I'm not talking about my mom or dad in a way that we haven't all talked about together, but we grew up in a very moralistic home, and it was do what I'm doing. It was the us versus them. And when I did everything right. I was that good kid. And when I went so far as to go into Bible college, I was a youth leader. I mean, I did it all. I was that whitewashed tomb. When I was 18 and in Bible college, we were forced to go to prayer before school. And I was sitting there, and the Lord broke through my own goodness, my own righteousness that I thought was pretty amazing, and rescued me. You know, I was doing everything for the praise of man and for feeling good about how amazing I was and what a good Christian I was. And he revealed to me, opened my eyes to see it wasn't enough. And so then as I grew in my faith and had my own children, got married, had my own children, started thinking about the gospel more and more. Like I said, my mom and I started talking about it, and she was like, this is not the way we raised you at all. Mm-hmm. And I agreed. And we started talking about, well, how do we talk to our kids about it? So it's been in the last, probably 8 years or so, and Give Them Grace came out probably, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. And I got to be honest, every day I'm growing in this knowledge. I'm seeing more and more how the gospel intersects with my parenting. And it's not just, I got to get my kids saved. It's the gospel informs, motivates everything I do with my kids. I'm determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified with my children in my parenting. And that changes everything. It changes everything.
Wow. Just some really challenging thoughts. And I'm sure that a lot of Christian parents who are listening right now, including myself, are kind of rethinking the way that we parent our children, because I think maybe some of us have felt like we're doing it the right way when in reality it's kind of backwards. And so
yeah.
I'm so thankful to hear you and be so passionate about it as well. And I'm guessing it wasn't easy to have that conversation with your mom and dad. And did your mom, did Elise actually come to that realization herself, or did you have to say?
Yeah, she did. She did. And the more we talked about it, the more we saw it all over the place in our lives growing up. I mean, but that's here's the thing. That's the beauty of the gospel. It gives you freedom. It gives you forgiveness to admit, I did this wrong. And so if you are a parent who's feeling like, maybe I haven't been doing this right, God doesn't look at you and say, well, you did it wrong all these years, so now I'm done with you and your family. No, there's redemption. There's forgiveness. He uses even our mistakes and our sin to glorify Himself. So now maybe you can go to your kids and say, here's what I've done wrong, and ask for forgiveness. And that's beautiful. That's a beautiful work of redemption that could happen in your family. So even for your sins in parenting, you're forgiven, you're loved, you're accepted before Him.
Mm, wow. Jessica, thank you so much. I want to commend both the new book, Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions, and your previous book, Give Them Grace, to our listeners. And they are just both chock full of biblical wisdom and great, I think, heartfelt thoughts from a mom. And thank you so much for your time. I want to mention your website, which is givethemgrace.com. You can find out more about Jessica and her mom, Elise, and their work and her speaking. We appreciate you going to be in the Upper Midwest anytime soon speaking.
You know, we're kind of all over the place. So if you look on our website under the speaking schedule, you'll find us there. We're all over. So, yes,
okay.
Probably. Thanks so much for having me, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jessica. We just pray that God will continue to use you in a mighty way, open doors you never expected He would. And thanks for your time today on the Faith Radio
Network. Thank you.
Our guest, Jessica Thompson, the book Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. Thanks so much for joining us today. My friend Neil Stavem is up next with his program.